Anybody getting tired of communion? I'll read you the scripture today, actually, at the end of this, in the message that Eugene Peterson wrote, the scripture that we've been talking about, at the end of it, he says, and don't let familiarity breed contempt, because that's what has happened. We've done that. Today, actually, you know, next week is Miracle Sunday, we call it, because we do see miracles, but it's really a time where we gather together and do serious koinonia gratitude. And so today I want to talk about gratitude, which actually, well, this just, I'll give you the whole message in one word today. Gratitude is the center of communion. I mean, it's the center of communion. There's nothing else more important than gratitude. But we won't start there. We're going to start with a real secular thing. Here's what's so funny. I was looking at gratitude this week. I didn't realize that people that are in the world, the people that don't believe in Jesus. In fact, let me guess, this blogger, here's his first, he did a whole blog on gratitude, and here's his first thing that he says. He says, what the heck, gratitude, is this a Christian blog? No, I'm not even religious. When I first started looking into gratitude, I wasn't expecting much, and I was wrong. And what's so funny, one of the points that he makes is how it makes you, it affects you in your spiritualism. And he said that the dichotomy for him was, he's not a spiritual person, but he said, when I do this gratitude thing, it makes me want to go to a higher power, but I just go ahead and shift to good luck. Yeah. So, interesting enough, what he did was this is actually a good idea, even though I don't suppose he knows Jesus. Maybe he does now, but he took 40 projects, research. There was 40 different researches concerning what gratitude is, and put that picture up. Here's what he came out of it with. I don't know if you can see it all. There, in all the emotional ones, you feel better. In the personal ones, you don't care about stuff as much. In the health one, you actually your sleep improves, and in your career it's better, and socially, it's better, and it's all these things. Here's what's so funny. He actually gave 31 different benefits of it, which a lot of them were just, in my opinion, just carnal. Like, one benefit is people will like you more. Well, yes. Rather than saying, you know, Cassie, I'm really tired of you. You know, saying, Cassie, I appreciate you. You get what I'm saying. That's kind of a common sense. But I did pick out five of them, what he said. The first one, what he said, was gratitude makes us more optimistic. Optimistic as opposed to pessimistic. In other words, our outlook on life is more positive when we walk in gratitude. And it's just really true. And gratitude, and I haven't even got to the Bible part yet. Gratitude is an amazing creature if it's honest gratitude. And by the way, what he did, how he got all this information, he had these people do a journal 5 minutes a day for 90 days. 5 minutes a day, and just wrote down things that they're grateful for. You know, I mean, and I'm sure in most people's cases it started out, well, I'm grateful I have indoor plumbing. And you know what I'm saying. I think what happens is, and here's what I love about Jesus. When you start walking in gratitude for other people, well, then this thing happens. And sometimes a word of prophecy, if you will, or something will come out of it. But the fun part for me is gratitude is a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. And I just find it ironic that they understand this. So gratitude makes you more optimistic. I picked five of the ones he said. Gratitude reduces our materialism. Because what happens, gratitude, we're happy with what we've got. Though we might want more. In fact, the article even said that it's, during this process of not being materialistic, he said, let me answer the question, will you become more lazy then? And he says, it's not about lazy. He said, you might not make as much money as you think you would, because that's not your motivation, but it's not that it makes you lazy. But again, these are principles. I just find it fun for me. These are principles. Another gratitude, it says, it makes us less self-centered. And that's really the principle of the word, because gratitude is all about others, not about us. And once we can get out of us and into that and stay there for a while, it's amazing how that will help you. And it says gratitude helps in your marriage. So fellows or gals, it's really true. Because what happens is, you know, you're in the beginning, of course, again, I've been married forever, 43 years. And you know, in the beginning, you're infatuated and you love them, but then life hits, and between the two of you, nagging starts, and opinions are thrown, and what can happen is we get out of this being grateful and having gratitude for our spouse. So, of course, gratitude works in a marriage. John, if you went up to Lindy and said, Lindy, I just appreciate the fact that you're taking care of those horses and not making me do it. Or you're planting the garden, and or you get what I'm saying. Now, some, you know, if I said something like that to my wife, she'd pass out. I get it. So just know that the reaction would be, okay, John, what's the agenda? You know, I get that. But listen, it's really true. It's really true. I appreciate my wife, though she might not think I do. I there are no words to explain how grateful I am that God placed her in my life. That's just the honest truth. But as we do that in life, I'm telling you, it takes you from being self-centered to being other people focused. And then, I was talking about marriage there. Anyway, fellas, girls, try that sometime and see if your marriage ain't better. And then gratitude makes us healthier. There was another chart that I didn't send, but it just had this charted out, this thing, how it makes people healthier. Well, it's just true. I mean, being a happy person, and I say happy, being a grateful person, if we really have honest-to-goodness gratitude, healing does come out of that. Because, again, we're not focused on how, I'm not feeling good. We're focused on other things in life. Gratitude literally makes us healthier, and I think more mentally than even physically. Being grateful for everything. I do stupid grateful, but I need to do better on bigger grateful. And what I mean by that is, you know, a parking place will come open and I'll say, man, thank you, Jesus, you know, for the parking place. But then John will do something kind to me and I forget to say to him, man, John, you know, good job, man, appreciate you. You get it. That's where we need to get as believers. Not just as we sit in this, though this is, by the way, you know, I've been on this kick forever, but it's just the truth. This is a vital gathering that we are here today. This is vital to our, not our Christianity, but yet, yes, to our Christianity. This gathering of believers is extremely important. And to be really honest with you, we can't function as believers if we don't gather together. And it's really true. And you know, that old saying, I'm way off point, I don't care. That old saying, you know, that, you know, I don't got to go to church to be a Christian. You're exactly right. No, you don't. And with that attitude, you probably shouldn't. You get it. Because this body of believers called Christian Center Fort Worth is what we are as a body. And we get a lot accomplished as a body in serving our community and stuff. I get all that. But we need to, like this morning when Shannon had the girls stand up and I love that. I love that because, number one, it gets us out of our comfort zone, right? Number two, it gets you out of your religious zone. If you think women can't pray for somebody, you know, men's the only one that can be. But the best part is it creates this wonderful family. Again, the word's koinonia in the Greek. It has a plethora of meaning to it. That's where Jesus is. That's where truth is. That's where real healing comes. That's where people are drawn to Christ. And people are drawn to Christ because we are grateful for other people. I mean, it's just, David, I can't tell you how grateful I am for you being in my life. From the day I got here, you old goat, from the day I got here. No. This guy, I can tell you stories that are just incredible. Him and his wife both just encouraged. I was a young buck, man. I thought I was all that in a bag of chips, but I was 38 years old, you know, pastor and, you know, whatever. And David was here and just a vital part of ministry and could say things that I couldn't say because they didn't respect me in it, right? So he could, like, he taught a whole message one Wednesday night on Balaam's rearing, I mean, the donkeys, couldn't find the word. But he used the King James Version, and so he said that word about a million times, and I'm here dying on the because everybody's okay with that. Man, if I had done that, holy smoke, they'd have just said, where was this guy? David got away with it. David's been an encouragement to me over the years. I'm grateful for that. I can go grateful. I'm grateful for you, Ben. I'm grateful for the heart that is turned towards God, man, for the fact that you have gone through stuff that nobody has a clue that you've gone through, yet you have been faithful and walked through it, and that you are open to the changes that God doing. Holy moly, man. I'm grateful for you, both of you. Your Medicare smartness. Listen, if you need somebody smart with Medicare, this is a girl right there for you. 555BR549. Are you putting a crown on her head? Is that what it is? Anyway, yeah. So, yeah. I'm kind of. I'll stop there for a second. So, that's the whole secular side of it. Here's one of the most interesting. We've seen this story a million times in the Bible, but it's one of the most interesting for me concerning gratitude because it seems to paint Jesus in a really weird light. At least to me. Here's the story. It says, so while Jesus was, on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing along the border. By the way, this is the Amplified Version. That's why you get the little brackets. He was passing along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. The reason they stood at a distance is because they were told they had to stand at a distance. Going to Leviticus chapter 4, chapter 5, all, a couple of those areas. Yeah, so that's why they're standing at a distance. They couldn't come close. And they raised their voices and called out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, here's what's interesting that we just kind of skim over sometimes. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. He didn't say, be healed in my name. He said, go and show yourself to the priest, because that was part of it too. Anybody that had a leprosy, to prove that they were healed, had to go to the priest, and the priest had to check them off the list. It's really not that way it is, but I don't want to teach the whole thing today. So, what is he saying? So, though they weren't healed, though they're asking for mercy, he says, go and see the priest. Well, they get it. They understand it, so they all start heading towards it, and look what happens. He said, go and show yourself free. And as they went, they were miraculously healed and made clean. 10 of them. And one of them, just one of them, we like this guy, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, glorifying and praising and honoring God with a loud voice. And he lay face downward at Jesus' feet, thanking him over and over. Therein lies gratitude. Thanking him over and over. Do you realize that if we had the gratitude that we should have for Christ that's incorporated in communion, the center of communion is gratitude. If we had that gratitude, how much life would be easier to do, and we would have gratitude for other folks around us, even people that you don't think that you would have a reason to have gratitude. In other words, if I sit here and I look at Matthew and I say, Matthew, I am so grateful for you. Matthew sits there and thinks to himself, why? What have I ever done for you? It's not that. It's the fact that you are an encouragement to me. That every Sunday that I speak, I don't care how bad it is and how everybody else walks out and probably hates it. You come up to me and you shake my hand. I have to look way high because you're tall. But you shake my hand and you tell me, man, that was awesome. I'll see you next week. And you have faithfully been coming week after week, even after your daddy died. Buddy, you were faithful to come to church. You got to understand, I am grateful for that. That is a gifting that God has given you. Now see, I'm grateful for that. Now here's what's really cool about this. That made you feel really cool, right? Really good, and that's got to be fair. But it made Steve feel really cool and really good because that's what gratitude's all about. And that's the whole point I think Jesus was trying to make in this message right here. So he says, here's what I love. And he fell at the face of Jesus and thanking him over and over, and he was a Samaritan. Now, you understand Samaritans are always bad guys. Jesus actually, remember, he would use it as an illustration when you go to the good Samaritan story. you know, where the Good Samaritan is the one that helped. But that was a story. This is the truth. But yet they wanted to point out he was a Samaritan. Why? Because the Samaritans were less than. The Samaritans weren't as important as the Jewish community. The Samaritans had created their own God, though it was the same God. They had their own temple. They had these people mad, right? You had to be in the same denomination at that point in time. So, but they, Luke, who wrote this, was pointed out he was a Samaritan. Is it Luke, right? Yeah. He was a Samaritan. And so, so Jesus says in verse 17, well, weren't there 10 of you that were cleansed? Where are the other nine? Where are the other nine that should be bowing at my feet, begging or telling me how awesome I am over and over? See, that's just not who he is. But that's how we would think it would be, right? So where are these other nine? Was there no one found to return and give thanks and praise to God except this foreigner? Holy smoke, man. He just told him he was a foreigner. By the way, that's what the word means, foreigner, alien, whatever you want to call it. So in our thought pattern, it's like, boy, Jesus just threw that dude under the bus. Only this one? But that guy was so busy praising God over and over and over, he didn't hear that. Can I tell you that if you'll get so busy in gratitude, you won't hear the noise of the world around you telling you all this and that in the back of your head? You won't. You'll be so caught up in the awesomeness of who Christ is. So, so verse 19, Jesus said to him, get up and go on your way. Your faith, in other words, your personal trust in me, again, this is the Amplified version, your personal trust in me and your confidence in God's power has restored you to health. So here's my thought. By the way, I'm only a 2-page note today. You should be happy about that. Yeah, that's amazing. And I'm still on 16 font. So give me a couple years, I'll have cue cards up here because I can't afford one of those fancy ones. So I'm answering questions for you. Why did Jesus put so much value on gratitude? Was he so vain and so full of pride that he needed to be thanked? Is that who he is? Is that the character of who he is? Oh my goodness, one guy comes back to thank me. Nine of them don't come back to thank me. They're going to all burn in hell, I decided, and this one I'm going to love. No, because you know what the truth is? They were all healed and they all stayed healed. But here's what I love what he said. Get up, go. Your faith and your confidence has restored you to health. The word there is actually has restored your salvation, your sozo. In other words, it ain't just about leprosy for you, kid. Because of your gratitude, I'm covering all of it. I'm covering your mind, your soul, your health, your finances. I'm covering it all. That's who Jesus is. And it's not the magic pill. It's the gratitude that resides in us. And when we are grateful for him, with him, our gratitude for other people, you can be even grateful for your enemy, ladies and gentlemen.
What do you mean, man? I love him, but I got to kill him.
No.
Yeah, Jesus said love your enemies. He didn't say nothing about be happy for him.
Do you realize the character that is built in you when your enemy does its thing? You not see that? The character that's built in you? If the character's not being built in you, then you need to check your gratitude level. Because that's what happens, man. I've walked through a whole lot of enemy territory, and I've come out bleeding sometimes, but I think I've come out pretty pure in heart. Not an easy road. I ain't lying. I've told you stories about where I've told God to send some of them straight to hell, but at least I told it to God and not somebody else. You know, God, I'll pray for them because I just kept... I'll pray for him. Sure, I'll pray you. That's what I pray. I mean, I've done that. Huge attitude. And then people come up to me. I can't believe you said that to God. Really? Really? So he doesn't know? Like he doesn't know what's in my heart? Are you kidding? Get it out. He's my counselor. He's my Prince of Peace. If I got to cuss, I'll cuss at him. Oh, Van Zandt, you stop, man. He's real. He's real, he's real, he's real, he's real. He is real, and I am grateful for him, and I'm grateful that even in the midst of my stupidity, He recognizes that I might have potential, and He loves me the same even if I never reach my potential. How crazy is that kind of love? Kind of like the love we have for our kids. And yet we won't give God the credit for even loving us like our. We love our kids, though. We want to choke them. He didn't even want to choke us. Sometimes I do want to choke them. So let me stay right here where I'm at. So Jesus values gratitude. Watch this. Because, not because He needs it, but because we need it. We need gratitude. We need people to feel grateful for us so that we feel good. For instance, the little boyfriend here, don't even know your name. What's your name?
Zelmar,
that's right. I remember your name, and I remember thinking you was like from India or something. I don't know. Anyway, I say I don't even know you, right? I don't know you, sir, but I'm grateful for you. What do you mean? How can you be? Are you just doing a sermon? No, you don't get it. I know this girl well, and I know I will kill you dead if you hurt her. But I also know in my spirit, listen to me, I know in my spirit that that's not in you. That there is, you've been down the road of other relationships, and some of them have killed you. And I get that. He gets that. But He wants you to understand something. He's grateful that you've maintained where you are, and you have been faithful to that, and you need to hang on to that, and you're freaking out, and I'm sorry.
No,
it's all right. I get it. I can see it. I get it. Who are you looking at over here? You got friends or something? It's like, okay. Oh, do you know Jim?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you do now. Jim Hahn. What's your name? Xander Vuzova, whatever his name was. Zelmar, like Delmar with a Z.
There you go.
I don't know a Delmar either, so I'll remember it. Zelmar. Like Omar with a, yeah, that'll be it. Now I'll be calling you Zomar. And so, here's what I know, guys, and you guys, you know this is true too. Again, gratitude causes us to look outward rather than inward. It's not woe is me, gloom, despair. I've sang it a million times. It's not that at all. It's looking outside. And even if you have nothing of value that you view yourself as, you hear what I'm saying? If you struggle with who you are as a person and how terrible and ugly you are, there is an avenue to get out when you start speaking life and gratitude for other people. Even if you don't know them. Well, what do you mean if you don't know them? Well, I don't mean like that. You don't have to freak people out. What I'm talking about, you go in a grocery store and you can tell that the girl's all tired and probably walking through it. Even the Lord might speak to you that she's walking through a divorce or whatever. You don't got to say that, but you do got to say, ma'am, I just so appreciate the fact that you are here today and I don't have to use that self-checkout thing. I'm telling you, thank you. You will see go from here to life. But incorporating that life you bring other people, it brings life to you. I'm just being honest and truthful today because normally I just lie. Why not? So gratitude literally contradicts self-centeredness and self-indulgence. Listen, this is why, and if we're going to be really, really honest here, when you read about the chapter in Acts where the church was formed, and you read about the part where they said they sold everything and brought it together and gave it to other people, we really struggle with that. You get what I'm saying? Let's just skip that and keep going. I want you to understand something. Number one, they weren't just selling it all just to sell it all. They were finding need and filling the need. It's similar to what we do, so it's not this grand thing, but what it is powerful because it was, I firmly believe it was formed out of the gratitude that was flowing. When we're grateful for what we have, we don't have to hang on to it anymore. Right? Is that fair? Is that true? Is that, okay, I'll get off of money because that scares us to death. I love you, Jesus, but leave my pocketbook alone. Just kidding. So watch this. Gratitude counteracts depression. And it releases anxiety. Why? Because it gets me outside of me. It's outside of me. Jonathan, I love you like crazy because you have such a heart of ministry. And Where you sit is proof of who you are, because you do not want to be seen or heard about it. So I'm exposing you as the great, wonderful person that you are. Do you get it? Ken Graves is the same way, man. Ken's up here always fixing stuff, hanging around my truck. We won't go to eat with me because he doesn't like Vietnamese food. But listen, you just don't get it. Your wife, too. There's people here that are just ministering life. And we don't even see it. But I want to be grateful. I just read this article. This was an at random article. What I mean is I wasn't looking for this. It popped up on my news site. And there's this CEO of this company that writes 9,200 birthday cards a year for every single one of his staff. So I did the math. That's a little over 25 cards a day. But it also says he not only does that he writes thank you notes and remembers babies and all this stuff, that he carries his briefcase, because he's got to travel a lot, carries his briefcase just full of cards and stuff all over the world. And people ask him, are you crazy? And he's like, look at my company. This company's a small company. I can't even remember what it does, but I just think it's greatness, because what's happened is his people are starting to do the same thing. I say his people, his helpers around him are starting to see, but it hadn't stopped him from doing what he does. I'm not telling you to go to extreme unless that's what you need to do. But what I am saying is gratitude is a powerful healer in our life. And it's our gratitude for others. Yes, obviously grateful for what we have. Please. That's what Thanksgiving was supposed to be about. Rather than, I got people now saying, well, the Christmas tree's up, but I'm not going to light it till Christmas. Okay, well, yeah, great. Okay, just moon that turkey out of the way. No, I'm kidding. That stuff really is a total non-issue to me. I mean, good night, man. You can go to Walmart right now and you can get Halloween candy on sale with Christmas things going and Valentine's sitting on the shelf for you for next year. It's crazy. So here's my quasi-conclusion. Gratitude is so important that Jesus put it at the center of worship, i.e., like I said. Here's the scripture. This is out of the Message version. I've used this for the last 100 weeks in all the other versions, but I want you to hear this one. So this is where Paul's giving instructions to the Corinthian church because they weren't doing this thing right. So he had to basically tell them, stop eating when you want to eat and getting drunk and acting like it's communion. He straightened that out, and then this is where he explained why. So let me go over with you again. Exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper and why it is so centrally important. I received my instructions from the Master himself and passed them on to you. You do realize that he was knocked down. When he was knocked down, he had this conversation with Christ. And then the Bible says from that day he went forward and spent about 2 years of just total talking with Jesus. So during this 2-year conversation, I'm sure that happened. It says, the Master Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took the bread. And having given gratitude, here is Christ, man, giving thanks to his daddy for fixing to get killed. So he gave thanks and he broke it and he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this to remember me. And after supper, they already finished eating. See, this is where the Corinthian church had messed everything up, man. They would eat and then get drunk and then... So after supper, he did the same thing with the cup. This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me. And what you must solemnly realize is that every time that you eat this bread... And every time that you drink this cup, you reenact in your words and your actions the death of the Master. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns, and you must never let familiarity breed contempt. So, what did I do with that? Gratitude is a loving response to a favor. An unearned, undeserved favor. That's what gratitude is. I don't deserve the love that David has given me, that Matthew has proclaimed. You get what I'm saying? And communion represents Christ Himself, and we're to express our gratitude to Him for what He did, what He's doing, and what He's prepared for us. That, in a nutshell, is what next week's all about, Miracle Sunday, where we gather together and we are just grateful and we give thanks for people and we give thanks for Jesus and we bring our very best offering that we can, because let's be really honest, this is a time of year that we need that financial undergirding, but we just are saying, man, Jesus, you're everything to me. I'm so grateful for you. But meantime, if you ever want to take communion outside of your home, I'm going to give you this list. Are you ready? Psalms 103, verses 1 to 12. If you're going to have communion, and here's what David wrote. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives all my sins. There's the blood. He heals all my diseases. There's the bread. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. Thank you, Jesus. He revealed His character to Moses and His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. I am so grateful. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve, for His unfailing love toward those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Gratitude. Gratitude. You struggle with... I could take communion every day, so I get into that familiarity breeds contempt, because I get into the way I used to read the Bible. You know, I'd want to read the Bible in a year, and I'd get behind five chapters, so I'd just start reading as fast as I could so I could catch up, not getting anything. I was doing that with this, you know, oh my God, it's late, I've got to get this communion over with. No, stop. Familiarity breeding contempt, man. I pull it out. 103, Psalms 103 brings me right back where I am. The center of communion is our gratitude for what Christ did. Had He not done what He did, no reason for us to be here today. You get it? That is powerful, and that is motivating. And I've asked Chuck to come up here and close us by having communion. I'm going to... You're going to help? You can get some. Josh, come help. I'm just going to handpick people. Josh, come help. Zomar, whatever it is. Zelmar, whatever. I'm just going to call you Z. Help. Anybody else, if there's left, help, please. I know this is always awkward, and I like it that way, just so you know, because familiarity does breed... Oh, you want to do two juices? You have a double whammy. Yeah. I don't want it to be so familiar that we just... Are you cold, Donna, today?
I'll tell you what, let's stand to our feet while we do this, please. My brain tends to work in weird ways when it works, but I was reminded while he was teaching this message this morning of Job. In the book of Job, around chapter 38 to 41, 2, 3, something like that, God begins to correct Job. And he's correcting Job with just a whole bunch of different things. I'm just going to paraphrase. But he asked Job, did you set the foundations, the moorings, the footings for the universe? Did you set the sun and the moon and the stars in their place and tell them how bright to shine? Did you tell the waves of the oceans and the sea how far to go, where to stop and where to begin? So I begin to think about that and this gratitude thing. Isn't God worthy just for that alone? Just the fact that He is the Creator. He is the God. He set the footings. He set the sun, the moon, and the stars. He told the ocean, stop or go. He tells the wind where to blow, how fast to blow, how hard to blow, when not to blow. He tells the temperatures to raise or to lower. He does all of this. Is He not worthy just for that alone? Never do another thing for me. Never answer another prayer. And that's easy to say because we know the character of our God is not that. But if He never answered another prayer of yours, is He not still worthy? Is He not still worthy of your praise, your thanksgiving, your gratitude? Just for that alone, He is worthy of your gratitude, of your thankfulness. Are you thankful for your enemies? Are you thankful for the things you suffer? Are you thankful for the hard times when they come? Because it's through those things that we learn and we grow in our character like God. It's through the hard times. To use a sports analogy, we learn more from defeat than we do victory. Amen? Let's be thankful for everything that comes our way.
Has everybody been served? Back there, okay, we'll get you.
So right now, just as we're finishing up, just begin to praise Him for who He is. Not for any particular thing that He's done or any particular prayer that He may have answered, but just because He is God. Just begin to praise Him because He is God. You are worthy. Your name is worthy to be praised. Your name is worthy to be lifted up and spoken high. Jesus, just Your name alone is enough. Jesus, we love You for You. We love You just because of who You are. God, we do love You because of what You did in the past, what You're doing now, and what You're preparing for us in the future, God. We thank You for all of that. We are so grateful. We are so grateful, God, because You are worthy. Because You are worthy. Because You are worthy, God. We lift up, everybody served? Everybody good?
I believe so.
Thank You. We lift up this cracker that represents Your body that was beaten and broken for us, for healing, for wholeness, as Mike alluded to earlier, spiritual, physical, mental healing contained in the body of Christ. God, we take that together and thank You. We lift up this cup of juice, which represents Your blood that was shed for us. Not only for forgiving us sins and cleansing us and making us whole, but for the new covenant. Ratified in Your blood, God, we thank You for that. We take it together. Father God, we praise You. We worship You. We love You. You are beautiful. You are amazing. God, thank You for everything in our lives, the good and especially the bad that grows us up and grows our godlike character up and brings us closer to You, God. Lord, we love You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of quick announcements. Thanksgiving volunteer meeting in the children's chapel. Let's head that way now. Miss Jana Hahn in the woman's workshop over here in the prayer room. So I guess you're going to have to choose what you want to do this morning. But there. And God be with the Dallas Cowboys. Amen.